Amazon 5-star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by a real serious improv podcaster. Tonight's review, Furby. I bought a Furby as a nostalgic joke. Joke's on me. Day one, adorable. Giggles, wiggles its ears, says, me love you. Day three, woke me up at 3 a.m. whispering in Furbish. I think it summoned something. Day five, I'm starting to ask it for life advice. Day seven, it blinked at me like it knew. I blinked back. We've reached an understanding. I fear it. I love it. 5 stars, Aaron M. Find your perfect gift this holiday on Amazon.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Nick Loy, a reader in military and imperial history at King's College London. His new book, The Western Front, is comprehensively the story of the Great War, looking at the war in Belgium and France, the war that we think of as trench warfare. This is the battle between allies and adversaries in Europe that started the 20th century, that cursed the 20th century because its lack of resolution, and the players in this battle, 1914 to 1918, become the predicate for the much more damaging to the Earth War, called the Second War, in the 1930s and 40s. Everything here foreshadows the catastrophe of the 20th century, which we still bear. Nick, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this and congratulations. I want to begin with a conversation about how you approach this as a scholar, what you discovered in your researches in the German, the French, the American, and the British archives, and others, parts of the empire all participated, the colonies of Canada and Australia. The French Empire participated as well, the colonial troops. What you discovered in your researches and how it is that you approach this, what your ambition was as a narrative historian. Good evening to you, Nick.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. This was a big book. It was a big project that I took on, and I'd written a few books about the Western Front, different battles. I'd written a book on Passchendaele. I'd written about the last stages of the war on the Western Front, and then I thought I needed to do something bigger and more comprehensive. And you know, I stumbled upon the idea that I was going to do history of the entire front. So, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, this entire theater of war in France and Belgium between 1914 and 1918. And I'd looked at it in snippets and snapshots, really, and I thought I need to do the whole thing. So I think there was a number of things I really wanted to do with the book, which was really to emphasize that it's a coalition warfare. You know, there's a whole number of states and nations and empires involved in the Western Front. And certainly from the British perspective, often we tend to focus on the British, you know, the British perspective, understandably, the British sector of the Western Front, the Somme, Passchendaele, the battles that we fought in. But of course, there's the entire French sector. There's the entire American sector later on in 1918. So, and there's a whole German story. So I wanted to bring all of that together in a sort of grand narrative history that takes you through the opening stages of the war, the German invasion of France and Belgium, and then goes through that whole process of how the Allies, how Germany fight the war, how they change, how they develop new technology, new tactics, and then how it all comes to an end in 1918. So to do the whole thing was obviously quite a big task, but it was something that I really enjoyed, and I think if readers go through it, they'll find in some ways quite a different story than maybe one they expected, but I think one that is ultimately more satisfactory than maybe what we have today, because we might want to talk about this, but the Western Front is so full of myths and misunderstandings and cliches that getting past all of that is a real challenge.
The preface to your book indicates you wanted to look at the operational level of senior commanders. The lens of senior commanders was your language. How does that shape this story, and how is that different from what we've had before, Professor?
Well, I think for me, understanding war and understanding this war is we have to start with the military aspects of it. And I think, you know, there's a huge, you know, there's lots of other stuff going on in the war. There's the entire economic war. There's large parts of the naval war. I touch a little bit on the naval war, but you know, there's a whole social changes that the war unleashed. And these are sort of in the background in my story. I focus on those people, those senior officers who were involved in the war from the early stages and the way that it went through. Because I think that in some ways they have been the people that are the most misunderstood. And, you know, they have largely been written off in the Western tradition as sort of donkeys or butchers and bunglers, as men that were incompetent, in some ways criminally negligent, and really fought the war in a terrible way. And this, of course, contributed to the futility and the stalemate that we see in that sort of middle period of the war. So I really wanted to just look again at these individuals and try to tell the story from their perspective so that the reader can, in some ways, step into their shoes. And I think, I hope, as readers go through the book, they will think, well, what would I have done? Would I have done something differently? You know, I think hopefully readers will be able to appreciate the enormous pressure and the enormous difficulties that these men had to wrestle with. And, you know, some of them made terrible errors. Some of them tried their best and still failed. Others did the right things and were successful. And I think it's that entire mix-up that will hopefully give us a more nuanced, a cooler perspective on the war. And, you know, we've got 100 years has passed since the war now. So I think the time is right for a more considered assessment of how that war was fought. And again, what it all meant, really.
We're looking at trench warfare in Belgium and France, 1914 to 1918. You indicate there will be other volumes that speak to the war in the East, the war between Russia, Germany, Austria, and the war with Italy, and also the war outside of Europe, the global warfare that was fought in Africa and the Middle East. Is that correct, Professor?
Yeah, well, you know, I'd written books about battles on the Western Front. So I thought I need to do the whole Western Front. And as soon as I started on the Western Front, I thought, look, I've got to do the whole thing here. So it turns out that there's going to be a trilogy. So it's going to be one. This is the first volume of three. And obviously in this book, I allude to events that happen outside the Western Front. So there'll be an occasional mention of things going on in Russia or Poland or with the Austrians or Gallipoli in the Middle East. But those stories will be told in Volume 2 and Volume 3. So Volume 2, the one I'm working on at the moment, is the Eastern Front. So this is the Russian War. It's the Austrian War. We also have the Balkans in there. So it's an entirely different war than you get in the West, but it's an essential part of that story. And then we will go in the final volume to look at, if you like, what I call the wider war, the war in the Middle East, the war in Africa, the colonial war. And through each of the volumes, you will gradually, the picture of the war will hopefully emerge and it will become deeper and more sort of nuanced as we go forward. And so the trilogy will be a complete history of that war.
One detail that comes again and again in different parts of the 1914 to 1918 on the battlefront is that events in Russia or events in Italy or events at sea, the submarine warfare, influence the decision-making on the battlefield. We need a victory, or we need to press on, or when Falkenhayn would ask for the submarine warfare to continue and be blunted. So the larger war preys upon decision-making on the battlefront. I had never seen that so clearly, Nick, until your book.
Yeah, I mean, there's always the huge numbers of factors that go into all of these decisions that we go through. And, you know, I think the key thing is the appreciation of these individuals, these commanders are trying to win the war, and they're trying to, for the Allies, there is a coalition warfare. You know, they have to fight alongside, you know, or at least try to coordinate their activity with Russian activity. And they try and obviously fight the Turks in the Middle East. And so that is it's a constant evolution that's going through. But I do think for the Western Front, this is the front, the theater, where it's ultimately decided. Now, Germany effectively wins on the Eastern Front. Russia goes into a revolution in 1917. It ends the war. But Germany cannot hold on the West, and ultimately that is what brings her down. So the Western Front is the decisive theater of the war. It's where the war is fought by four great powers: Germany, France, Britain, and of course the Americans.
Let's go to the Germans, Professor. Let's start with the Germans. It is the summer of 1914. An event in Sarajevo has sparked everybody's sense of dread. The book is The Western Front, This is The History of the Great War, Volume 1, 1914 to 1918. The author, Nick Loy, from King's College. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Truth is, Ohio, when it comes to broccoli salad, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. You know it, your neighbors know it, heck, everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows it. That tangy zip of Miracle Whip is the reason why Ohio's broccoli salad runs circles around everybody else's and never gets winded. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip right where it belongs in all your favorite recipes. Buy Miracle Whip at your local grocery store and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.